Dear friends, good evening. Thank you for joining us again this week to another Gnostic Lab of Practical Application. Tonight, our practice is titled Developing Intuition. But the first thing that we should be asking ourselves is, why? Why do I want to develop intuition? Isn't intuition like a faculty of women? So the answer to that is, number one, no. It is a faculty that is available to all of us, and we should all strive to develop it. But the first question, why do we want to develop intuition? It's just the wrong question. The right question is, why do we need to develop intuition? And it is not just intuition. We have to develop some other abilities simply because Samael has told us, particularly in his writings on the book titled The Revolution of the Dialectic, he has told us the mind and the psychological universe find themselves in tremendous chaos. And this is why there is no concatenation of ideas, there is no concatenation of sentiments, etc. Concatenation means that there is no good adhesion, coherence between one idea and the next one. And it is very common to see that when we start getting fairly conscious on the flows of our dreams. There are some events that take place that they are completely illogical. Before any sound judgment, they look completely irrational. But that is just a reflection of the mind. And we need to develop intuition because we need to develop the ability to exercise comprehension. If we continue relying on the failed logical processes of the intellect, we're going to continue to fall short of any sound comprehension. And what happens to us as we walk into the space of observing ourselves and comprehending our defects is that the images that come to the mind, the words that flow as thoughts within the mind itself, they come to us as koans. As you would remember from some of our previous Gnostic labs, a koan is an enigmatic phrase. It is a question or a statement that is completely confusing to the mind. For example, what is the sound of one hand clapping? Or the question, what was your first face? Or the statement, it is not the mind, it is not the Buddha, it is nothing. See, these are very profound statements that rattle the mind and create an obstruction in the actual logical flow of the mind itself. But when we do it with a koan, it satisfies its intended purpose because we're seeking to calm the mind. When we are looking at comprehending our defects, the student always starts with an intellectual exercise. And starting with an intellectual exercise, the moment that the images and the thoughts come across as koans, they start shocking the mind in such a way that the mind does not know what to do. And this is why Samael tells us, friends, in those initial efforts that you bring forth to comprehend your defects, it is necessary for you to make use of the help of the process of sleep. Because when you enter into these exercises of comprehension, you walk into levels where things become confusing, where the images that you're seeing within the screen of your mind, they are not coherent at all, and even colors are not bright. They are dull colors. And when this happens, one of the first and most aggressive obstacles to comprehension is the inability to fix that defect that you're trying to observe within the screen of the mind. And that is because the mind starts getting distracted. When we are seeking to comprehend, when we are trying to focus on any given psychological aggregate so that we can work upon it, so that we can really see what we were thinking, what we were feeling, how is it that we were reacting? The moment we try to do that, somehow everything turns dark within the mind. You try to see, but you really don't see anything. You are just hoping that the mind is going to be able some kind of clear image. And while that is happening, the consciousness itself will lose, even for an instant, the mind will lose its ability of feeling enlightened and empowered, and it slowly gets distracted and instantaneously falls into the condition of fascination. This stream of thoughts and sentiments that we experience, all of these random thoughts and sentiments that cloud the mind, they become an obstacle for us to be able to comprehend the defect. And if we continue to try to depend on the mind to comprehend the constructs of the mind itself, we will inevitably fail. So if we need to make a change, and what we're trying to do is truly comprehend a circumstance, a situation, one of those comedies or tragedies in our life where we reacted in this or that way, well, if we're trying to comprehend it, and if we're just falling into a dark abyss that gives us some kind, creates in us some kind of lethargy that we don't know exactly what is it that we're doing, who we are, or where are we, or what is it that we are anticipating to happen, then we are indeed in a very unfavorable circumstance. The only solution that we have is to empower the consciousness, because the consciousness has a series of instinctive faculties that allow it to bypass any of the logical thinking processes of the mind and receive wisdom from the innermost itself. It is a connection that exists with that internal manifestation of God, and that direct communication provides us in an instant with everything that we need to know, everything that we must comprehend. But then the question is, how do we empower the consciousness? Well, number one, this is something that which we have to invest of our willpower to do so. But also, we can make use of our creative power. We can make use of that sexual creative force that exists in you, in each one of us, because the sexual creative force that it is known as Eros, and this energy that exists within us, an energy that is sourced from our own creative waters, well, Samael tells us these are the most perfect helpers for us to be able to achieve comprehension. When we breathe and we help transmute of our creative energy, when we make use of words of power, we effectively start providing energy, spiritual energy, for our consciousness so that it can further develop its faculties. And then we can walk into that space where we can take the three necessary steps towards initiation, which is the development of the faculty of inspiration, the faculty of intuition, and the faculty of imagination. Now, we're speaking here of objective imagination. Objective imagination is the same thing as clairvoyance. And we are all more or less clairvoyant. Some of you have a beautiful ability, and you have to be conscious of it and be very careful with it. Because for as long as we have the ego, we will continue to filter every impression that comes to us with the lens of our own defects. And it has been known of people who have had experiences that are of a clairvoyant nature, and they have seen, I have seen the wife of my neighbor adulterating, fornicating with somebody else. And they will say, look, I have seen this person, and they are being unfaithful to you, without really understanding if what they are seeing is something that is happening at this present moment, or if what they are seeing is indeed an event that took place in who knows which previous life. Many people have not known how to use these faculties, and they have created problems for themselves and problems for others. So we have to always be very careful and take them as an esoteric experience. So that is the objective imagination. And then we have inspiration, and then we have intuition. And when it comes to this topic of intuition, let's start with this topic of inspiration. When we're talking about inspiration, when we reach the heights of this imaginative wisdom, when we can see things in their vibrant colors, we will come to realize that we can see things, but we just do not understand them. We need this inspirative wisdom that gives us the power of clear interpretation of symbols, whether these are the symbols of nature or the symbols that come as part of the confusing language of the ego. Whenever the ego intervenes, it creates chaos. Whenever we allow the consciousness to be inspired, we immediately apprehend the spiritual significance of things. And it happens so naturally. You just see it and you say, wow, that's it. And that is it. And when we're speaking of intuition, well, intuition gives us the significance and the reason for the things to be taking place. So imagine what happens when we can see and we can receive inspirative wisdom and intuitive wisdom together. Not only we do not get distracted with the thing, we can see beyond the appearance of the thing itself. We know exactly why it is there. We know exactly of its consequences, and we understand clearly the benefits of either making the most of it or simply eliminate it. For us to be able to work on this, we have to work with the chakras in our head. And we know that we have two primary chakras in the head. We have the crown chakra, and we have the chakra, the third eye, right there in between our eyebrows. And here within our head, we carry the three atoms of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Within our cerebral constitution, we have specific glands where atoms of the Father exist. Now, we are speaking here of atoms, not in terms of neutrons and protons and electrons. We're not interested in that at this moment. We speak here of atoms in terms of particles that are so small that they cannot be divided any further into anything else. They are a pure extract of essence. And the atom of the Father exists within the brain in that gland, the master switchboard called the hypothalamus. As you look at this image, you will see that the hypothalamus is right there, deep within the core of this union of the brain and all of its components, the cerebral cortex and everything else. The atom of the Father corresponds to the brain, and the cerebral cortex itself is the one that enables the consciousness and the thinking. And the Father will do its very best to communicate with us. And it will give us inputs that are imaginative, that are inspirational, and that are intuitive. And we will struggle to receive them because the cerebral cortex, well, it creates this consciousness of the ego and it enables the thinking of the ego. So the moment that those impulses get there, the ego takes that and it incorrectly translates it and it creates chaos for us. So the father tries, but we discard it. We don't believe it. We don't like it. We cannot believe that. What was that? Was that even mine? And before we realize, we even forget what we got. Then there is the atom of the sun. And when the atom of the sun becomes active, well, this is a beautiful thing because the atom of the sun is right there within the master gland in our brain, which is the pituitary gland. And the atom of the sun corresponds to the heart. It affects all of the endocrine system. So the sun will communicate with us. And it will communicate in a way that is imaginative. You will have visions of things. You will feel inspired. You will be able to receive this intuitional wisdom. And the beauty is that because the atom of the sun being in the pituitary gland and it corresponds with the heart, the moment that you feel that jolt of inspiration, you feel it deep within your heart center. And in many cases, that force of inspiration is so profound. It is felt in such a deep way that you cannot avoid just to see the tears flowing. And that is by itself a beautiful experience. But there's also the atom of the Holy Spirit. And that atom of the Holy Spirit, it corresponds with the pineal gland. And notice the location of the pineal gland. The trick here is that the pineal gland, it corresponds with our creative organs. And whenever the Holy Spirit invites of that information, when it invites of that energy that is of a creative nature, well, we have images that the ego will incorrectly translate. And because the forces of the Holy Spirit are all creative, the ego will misconstrue that with its ambitions, its desires, and its lust. Now imagine what happens when the pineal gland corresponds to the sexual creative organs. Well, the Holy Spirit makes an effort to communicate. It tries to give you imaginative wisdom, inspirational wisdom, intuitional wisdom. And as the ego receives that and filters it through its desires and its lusts, well, you start feeling it in different areas of your body. And because we have abused of the sensation of touch for so long, the impulse is incorrectly translated, and many people, they just fall down the slippery slope of instantaneous gratification and pornography and things of the sort. This gives you even a deeper perspective on why is it that the Father sends its only Son to redeem mankind. And that is because the Father is reaching out unto the heart. And we need to make the most of our ability to see, to receive intuitive wisdom and inspirational wisdom so that we can stop being distracted with the many mental formations that exist within the chaos of our mind. Because when these three faculties become available, we can then deliberately calm down the mind and we can allow the consciousness to focus on that defect that is critical for us to comprehend. And friends, the moment that we do that, we can clearly see the defect, its causes, its consequences. We can see what invites it to react. And we can also see the thoughts that go through it, the emotions that are manifested through it, and how the body behaves whenever the human machine is under the influence of that particular defect. The beauty about this is that we become very clear on causes and effects. And we see then the true impact that we have in our neighbors, in our spouse, in our parents, and in our children, on how is it that we affect them with the jokes that we make, with the things that we say, with the way that we behave. It becomes very clear to us of the suffering and the inconveniences that we cause others that up to this moment we have been completely unaware of. And as we can see that, with us being able to be them and stand on their own shoes, then the exercise of expiation becomes so much more simpler. Because one thing that we all share in common is that we are all seeking to be happy. We are not seeking to bring inconveniences and problems and mortify the people around us. Of course not. It becomes then a lot easier to understand the consequences of our defects. And with that level of judgment, then we can invoke the power of our Divine Mother. And we can ask of her to just turn that defect into cosmic dust. And she does just that. So for us to set these chakras in the head, all of them vibrating in harmony, we're going to chant the mantra Trin. Now this mantra, it sounds exactly as you're seeing it written on the screen. Trin. That is like a long bell. And we're going to relax the body fairly quick. We're going to vocalize this for 10 minutes. So I'm going to invite you to sing this at home here with us so that all those of us who are engaged in this exercise, that we can sing it from different parts of the world, all of us united in a single heart. More so on a day like today, the 27th, when we are starting a brand new solar cycle. So let's go ahead and chant this mantra for 10 minutes. And after 10 minutes, we are going to continue singing it. But we will sing it only within the mind. We will make use of the silent word to keep that mind in the state of calmness. It is the calmness that comes from the process of no thinking, which is pratyahara. So again, we will relax the body, we will chant this mantra for 10 minutes, and we will give ourselves a few additional minutes where we continue to sing this mantra mentally, and by then, well, I'll bring you back. And we will just finish our practice for today and let everyone go to enjoy the weekend. So let's go ahead and let's start by closing our eyes. And let's go ahead and focus. Let's focus on our physical body. Let's make ourselves aware for anything that may be causing any kind of discomfort. It could be the shoes. It could be the earrings or a ponytail, maybe a watch. Maybe the chair is too uncomfortable. So let's go ahead and take care of whatever is distracting our physical body. And while some of us are doing that, the rest of us, let's go ahead and focus our attention in our breathing. And let's take a deep breath in. 1, 2. One. Two. One. Two. Let's not lose the focus in our breathing. And with every exhalation, just allow your body just to sink a little deeper onto that chair. Allow your feet to be flat on the floor. Let your hands rest comfortably over your thighs. And let's keep our spine vertical with our head resting comfortably on our shoulders. And at this moment, let's go ahead and make ourselves aware of what is in our emotional state. Some of us may feel a little excited about this practice, while others may feel complacent or perhaps indifferent. There may be some of us who have gotten here today at this time of the day after dealing with many challenges, maybe problems that we have been fighting for the last few weeks. And we understand if you just feel tired. We understand if you feel a little sad. We understand if you at times feel like you're going through desperation and simply you feel like giving up. But we will invite you to not do that yet. Because we know that all of these sentiments, they come and go like the flow of a pendulum. And we know that if today we're sad, then later on we're going to be enjoying laughter. We're going to experience some happiness. And on the other hand, we know that if we feel very happy today, for as long as we remain attached to that mechanical flow of the pendulum, later on our happiness is going to be replaced with tears and sadness. The good thing is that we know that everything passes. And what is truly important is that we are capable of identifying what is our emotional state and acknowledging it. And just for that, we feel great gratefulness. Just for that, we can feel in our heart the sensation of gratitude. Because we also know that none of us is given anything more than exactly what we can handle. So now that we have made ourselves aware of our physical body and that we have made ourselves aware of our emotional state, let's chant together the mantra Krim Krishnaya Govindaya Kopihana Vayavaya Swaha. Krim Krishnaya Govindaya Kopihana Vayavaya Swaha. If you were to choose to do so, I would invite you to use your objective imagination, which is your faculty of clairvoyance, and look up. And it is likely that you will see a gentle blue light and shining upon you, a flaming star that surrounds you. The mantra Krim Krishnaya is a powerful mantra of protection that you can sing at any time, any circumstance. And now that we have invoked this protection, let's invoke of our innermost by saying, Divine Father, Father of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my internal God. I invite you, Father, to be the dominating entity within this vehicle. Let it be you, the one who officiates in this practice. Let it be you, the one who drives the breathing, because when you do so, the breathing is perfect. Let it be you, the one who sits, because everything that you do is perfect. Let it be you, the one who sings these mantras, so that they may resonate within the infinite vastness of the cosmos. And we beg of you, Divine Father, that you give us the ability to awaken these faculties of imagination, inspiration, and intuition. Empower this consciousness. Allow us to awaken your sacred fire within us. We ask of this in your holy name. So be it. And we do all this knowing that all of our exercises are exercises done entirely conscious. Knowing that if at any time you had to get up and continue with your day, you can do so at the moment of your choosing. And as we do this, let's go ahead and bring the attention of our consciousness down to our feet. Let's focus on our toes, the soles of our feet, our heels, our ankles, our shins, our calves, and our knees. And with great satisfaction, we see that just like that, with no effort, the bottom part of our legs are immediately experiencing that gentle softness and warmness that comes with a deep state of relaxation. So let's go ahead and focus in our breathing. We breathe in through our nose. We allow ourselves, if possible, to exhale through our nose. And we will seek to make our breathing so effortless that our goal is to make it imperceptible, make it perfectly silent. We bring our attention once again to our knees, and we allow the attention of our consciousness to scan the underside of our legs from the back of our knees upwards the back of our legs all the way up to our glutes. And from there we can feel that sensation of relaxation immediately populating every tissue, every tendon, every ligament, every muscle, every conduit that exists within our legs, and we feel that gentle softness expanding from our toes all the way up to our hips. We bring our attention to our creative organs, to our hips, and we bring our attention to the very base of our spine. And we notice how every time we do this, we feel that gentle warmness that comes with relaxation exactly at that spot where we bring our attention. So we allow our consciousness to continue moving that attention upwards. And from the very base of our spine, vertebra by vertebra, We relax the muscles in our lower abdomen. We relax our internal organs. We relax our diaphragm. We relax our stomach. Just like that, we reach that space, the middle of our back, that spot that exists right in between our shoulder blades. So we go ahead and relax our lungs. We relax our heart. And we take a deep breath in one. And as we exhale, we allow that sensation of relaxation to rise and reach the base of our neck. And from there to expand itself to our shoulders. And cascade onto our elbows, our wrists, our hands, and our fingers. Notice how the exhalations have become even deeper. And every breath is so effortless. So let's bring the attention of our consciousness to that space at the very base of our skull. In that particular spot that exists as a space between our ears. And allow yourself a moment to feel the sensation of relaxation growing. And with every exhalation, allow that warmness to expand. And we relax our jaw. We relax our tongue and our lips. We relax our eyes and our eyelids. We relax the muscles of our forehead. And with one additional breath, as we exhale, we allow all of that warmness and softness just to cover all of our scalp and find itself at the very crown of our head. And for this new opportunity, we are entirely grateful. Let's go ahead and chant the mantra Tring. Tring. T- Train. Imagine a light shining with the splendor of a thousand suns, emanating from deep within your head and illuminating every space and every crevice, and from there expanding beyond your head and bringing light.
Divine Father, we give you infinite thanks for the help that you give us. We give you thanks for your powerful assistance. We're infinitely grateful for the faculties that you awaken in our consciousness. We beg of you that all of these materialize and crystallize according to your will. So be it. Friends, let's take a deep breath in. One, two. And let's go ahead and open our eyes.
So, dear friends, this has been our Gnostic Lab tonight on developing the faculty of intuition. Thank you, everyone, for participating with us this evening. We wish you a great weekend, and we wish that may all beings be happy. Good night, everybody.